This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, so much news this week. We highlight all of the top stories of the week today on Jay Seculo Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. This is Jordan Seculo. We have put together a special show for you today because so much has happened this week. So many different major news stories that we've covered that we wanted to give you kind of an overview, because I think if you just listened to one or two shows, you may have missed a lot of other information because so much has occurred this week that affects our country and our world. I mean, first of all, Mexico agreeing to send 6,000 of their own National Guard troops to the southern border after that tariff threat from President Trump, a tariff threat which was criticized even by some Republican senators who said they may try to prevent President Trump from issuing those tariffs on Mexico. Well, guess what? After months of negotiations and Mexico not doing anything and not committing any major resources to stemming the flow of illegal immigrants that come into Mexico from their southern border and then come through Mexico to our southern border, now Mexico has agreed, because they want to avoid those tariffs that start at 5% but go up all the way to 25% over time, that they will actively put forward 6,000 of their own Mexican National Guard on Mexico's southern border to stop Central American illegal immigrants from entering Mexico's southern border illegally and then trying to enter our country illegally on our southern border. So a major victory there for President Trump that we'll get into today to get through kind of and focus in on how we got there and the media criticism over this as well, which was absurd, to say the least. My dad will be joining us as well to discuss the news that was really major this week, because the Department of Justice, in a response to a request by the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, a Democrat, Jerry Nadler, who asked about, hey, what is this investigation into the origins of the Russia investigation with this U.S. attorney all about? And we're talking about investigating the investigators. Well, the Department of Justice responded, and I bet Chairman Nadler, as you'll hear us discuss, why he probably feels this way, feels like he shouldn't have sent this letter in the first place, because the response back was pretty clear. It is broad in scope and multifaceted. And we'll get deeper into that with my dad, our chief counsel of the ACLJ, and remember, a senior attorney to President Trump as well. We also talked about Joe Biden and President Trump hitting the campaign trail in Iowa, and one of the most outrageous claims we've heard yet. And that's saying a lot from Joe Biden when you say it's one of the most outrageous claims you've heard yet, that there was not a single scandal during the Obama-Biden administration. Not a single scandal. Well, again, we brought back my dad, chief counsel of the ACLJ, senior attorney to President Trump, to walk through just some of the major scandals of the Obama-Biden administration. Just some of them. These aren't disputed. These aren't conspiracies. These are real, including the ones we worked on, like the targeting of the IRS, just for one example. We're going to go through many of them for you today. I mean, we talked about all of it this week. We really wanted to focus in so you get up to speed. And then this latest provocation by Iran. Remember, a month ago, Iran, the U.S. believes, attacked four oil tankers, and then 2 days later in May, attacked a pipeline using a drone. Well, yesterday, Iran is expected to have attacked by torpedo or some kind of explosive device two more oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. And again, the U.S. has been able to respond to help the situation. So we're going to get into that as well. Where is that red line with Iran? Of course, it's clear that the economic sanctions are hurting. So a lot to cover today on Jay Seculo Live. We thought with all of this news that happened this week, we needed to go back through it with you, because if you missed just one show, you missed a lot of information. We'll get to all of it today on Jay Seculo Live. Stay up to speed on all the latest news at ACLJ.org, on my Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSeculo, my dad's Twitter and Facebook pages as well. And again, we're coming right back on Jay Seculo Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Again, it's a big win for the Trump administration and for border security. And this is how the media is reporting it different ways. The Washington Post sounds pretty reasonable in their headline. In a standoff with Mexico, Trump's controversial tactics seem to pay off. And that's all the administration is saying, because the Wall Street Journal is also reporting that the tariffs not being imposed, the foreign minister of Mexico says that if these measures, like the 6,000 National Guard troops that will be deployed on Mexico's southern border, if they fail to stem migrant flow from Mexico into Mexico and then into the U.S., Mexico itself will consider implementing its own regional framework for asylum seekers. That is huge. That is something Mexico has been opposed to. Their president, Mexico's current president, ran on not doing anything to help the U.S. secure its own border, and now has agreed to send 6,000 of his own U.S. National Guard, Mexican National Guard troops to the Mexican southern border to protect to stop the flow of illegal immigrants into Mexico from the south and then to the U.S. southern border. It is a president, who ran on a campaign, this president from Mexico, that he would not do this. Now, it's interesting to point out that when you move forward, though, and you look at, so that's what the President Obrador of Mexico finally has agreed to do, amongst other measures as well. You move on to the New York Times, and they've got two interesting spins. One, Mexico agreed to take border actions months before Trump announced tariff deal. All they agreed to, when you read the article, they agreed to nothing, Than. They were just discussing possible actions. There was no movement being taken. The numbers were much smaller. We have a soundbite, actually. This is from the acting Homeland Security Secretary. Let's play it, because he talks about how small the numbers were when they were having these initial discussions in comparison to the 6,000 Mexican National Guard troops that are now going to be deployed on Mexico's southern border. Take a listen.
The president put a charge in this whole dialogue with Mexico, with the tariff threat, brought them to the table. This is the first time we've heard anything like this kind of number of law enforcement being deployed in Mexico to address migration.
First time ever. So while there may have been months of discussions, Than, the truth is that the tariff threat, one, as the article does acknowledge, increased rapidly how quickly this is occurring now from Mexico, and two, increased the number of Mexican resources, including National Guard troops, that are going to be available to stem this problem.
Until now, Jordan, they were empty promises. I mean, this was a negotiating right. tactic on behalf of the Mexican government that's dated back for decades, quite frankly. It's promise a bunch of things in the future, but do nothing. It's delay, delay, delay. And again, I come back to that headline that you mentioned from the New York Times. I mean, they're so desperate to attack the president and the administration's actions here that even in their headline, Jordan, they give away the game. They concede that the president got what he was after. It says that this is something that Mexico had agreed to long before but had never implemented. Jordan, the harm was in the delay of the implementation. And if you were going to delay it another 6 months, even if for some magical reason you believe that Mexico was going to follow through at that point, remember, 100,000 migrants coming across that border each and every month. The harm was in the delay. The very thing the president was after was a speed up of the promises that the Mexican government had been promising and not delivering. So even the New York Times, Jordan, trying desperately to attack the president, they admitted that he won this negotiation.
I mean, the president is correct that after all these negotiations of months, he makes the tariff threat, and within 2 days, you've got this massive new deal for Mexico, a deal which the Mexican president campaigned on saying he would never do something like this. But with the tariff threat, you've got the deal. It took 2 days instead of months because the months of negotiations were not producing fruits. They were producing more talk, 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 while, as Stan said, you've got thousands upon thousands of people entering our country illegally, creating this crisis on our border. Again, I just think it's a very important to understand when you are talking about this, that this is about the crisis at our border and doing what's best. My question for all of you today, and we want to take your calls on this, one, how big of a victory do you believe this is for the Trump administration? And two, do you support the use of the threat or even the use of tariffs to further the U.S. Goals, whether it is our own security goals, so national security like our southern border, or foreign policy goals as well. Do you support that? Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110 because it is something that is not brand new, but the way that the President Trump utilizes it is very bold, very upfront, and he does it as President of the United States, not through number twos and number threes who kind of back channel that kind of threat. He puts it right out there in the open. So we'll take your calls on that. Now, this was another New York Times headline by Peter Baker. A drama of Trump's own making ends with a familiar hero. Again, after I thought the New York Times and most of them had agreed that there was a crisis at the border, that these numbers, that it was a humanitarian crisis that we all realize as Americans could not go on without any change. They are trying to make it out as if President Trump just made up this drama so that he could make himself the hero. But take a listen to the acting Homeland Security Secretary, Kevin McAleenan, about these surges of just children at the southern border. Take a listen, Byte 26.
We had two prior surges of families and children at the border, 2014 and 2016. At that time, President Obama called it a humanitarian crisis. In the last 2 months alone, we have more than doubled those two full years of crisis.
Do you understand that? I mean, think about those numbers. Two full years, doubled those two full years in the last 2 months. And Obama was willing to call what happened in 2014 and 2016 a crisis. And the New York Times is trying to say this is a drama of Trump's own making so he can become a hero. It's disgusting.
So if the threshold in the Obama administration, Jordan, was met in 2014 and 2016, and we have more than doubled those 2 years in the last 2 months alone, then this is a crisis of what, 24 times the proportion that President Obama declared? But let me just put a little bit of color on that crisis so that people understand this, Jordan. The crisis centers around trafficking of children. They call it recycling children, where a child comes across the border with either a fake family or a drug cartel or some other nefarious grouping with the purpose of being able to stay in the United States. That child, very often, Jordan, is not the beneficiary of staying in the United States. They are recycled. They are sent back across the border to come over with another group so that group can stay in the United States. Look, it is time for Washington, D.C., Jordan, to take this problem seriously. Instead, they're using the New York Times, they're using the media apparatus to have petty fights with the president. Look, you can think whatever you want about the president or his policies, but the bottom line is there is a fundamental obligation for the elected officials in Washington, Washington, D.C., to take this problem seriously. And to this point, they don't. Jordan, I know we're going to get into this in just a little bit, but we've mainly talked about that first portion of the solution here, where Mexico's agreeing to send 6,000 National Guard to its southern border. That goes hand in hand with now the expanded Remain in Mexico policy, where those who do come and claim asylum, they can have those claims adjudicated, Jordan, but they're going to have to stay in Mexico while that happens. The reduced flow combined with that expanded program, I think that's a big part of this solution.
I want to go right to the phones. Kane, call in from Texas on line six. Kane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks, guys. I think I would hesitate to call it a victory for a president. I would say this is a very good start. Obviously, Mexico, yeah. Came back and, said, hey, we'll do some things. But until I started seeing that border shut down, these people stop getting across and being bussed in, that's when I'll call it a victory.
I understand. I think it's a diplomatic victory to get to this step, because he was dealing with a Mexican president, Kane, who had actually, his campaign in Mexico was, and he got elected on it, was, we're not going to do anything to help the U.S. secure its southern border. And now, because of the threat of tariffs, has agreed to, in writing, send, and this is just one part of it, but utilizing 6,000 of his own National Guard troops to secure Mexico's much smaller southern border. It borders more countries, but it's a much smaller border to secure because of the landscape and the surrounding areas and knowing where the flows are from. So it is a diplomatic victory, but I do understand what you're saying. The bigger victory, and the president understands that as well, it's why the tariff threat is still on the table, is that this goes into action. Kane?
I like all that. I also would even add, if these tariffs, maybe even add on the threat of cutting foreign aid, hit them twice.
Yeah, well, so far it didn't take that. It took the tariff issue of 5%, which could have gone up to 25%, but it just took the idea of a 5% tariff going into force. And so it didn't take the threat of foreign aid. And the president has said, even Mexico has said, if this doesn't work, we're going to also try some other plans, including a framework for an asylum system within the region. So it's not all within the U.S., this asylum claim system. So this is a big deal, folks. I mean, it is a big diplomatic victory. Yes, it has to go into action, but even Mexico is agreeing to further potential steps if this initial major action doesn't accomplish its goal of stemming the tide of this illegal immigration from Central America coming through Mexico to into the U.S. We're coming right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Jay Secchio Live, and thanks for joining us this third segment of the broadcast. Remember, we've got a second half hour coming up as well, and we said we'll start taking phone calls. Today's discussion focused in on this letter that was released by the Department of Justice to the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Jerry Nadler, Democrat. It's all coming out because Jerry Nadler asked for the information about what this, quote, they're calling the review of the actions taken by both the DOJ, FBI, and intelligence agencies, non-governmental organizations. So that means groups like a Fusion GPS, so not government-affiliated organizations, private organizations, and individuals leading up to the 2016 election and the intelligence that led to, you know, of course, the FISA warrants and the investigation into the Trump campaign specifically. So we've got now a window into just the breadth of this investigation, and I'm sure Jerry Nadler is questioning whether he should have sent this letter or not, because it should be scaring a lot of Washington, D.C. It starts off by saying that the review is broad in scope and multifaceted. I mean, right there, it's a big deal. But I want to go to your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. My dad, Jay Sekulow, our chief counsel at ACLJ and lead attorney to President Trump, is joining us as well. If you want to talk to us on the phones, Andy's calling in from Florida on line one. Andy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, how are you guys? First, I just really want to quick say, all the men and women there at the ACLJ, fantastic work, everything you guys do, and I enjoy listening to you every morning.
Thank you.
To get to my point, I really have to be honest with you, and some of us have to think this through. You know, I know that the Democrats are rattling the cage right now, impeach, all that kind of thing, and I respect Bill Barr, and I respect the president, but I really, really think that if we can just use this as almost a scare tactic to shut them up. Now, I do know that people have done wrong things, and I do want to see justice done. But at the same time, if we can move away from the impeachment idea and get on with things, get some things done, wouldn't it be almost worth it to let it go at this point?
I'll jump in, Andy. I think here's the reality. No one is letting that go on the Democrat side. Joe Biden is about to give a speech that calls the president an existential threat to the United States of America. He's the leading presidential candidate on the Democrat side for now. Polls have been dropping, but he's going to call the president, as he released very early these remarks that he's going to give later today in Iowa. The president will also be in Iowa. An existential threat to the U.S. It's not going anywhere. The bipartisanship isn't working. The crisis at the border, the humanitarian crisis alone, is an example of that. So, no, you don't give up. That would be the typical Republican thing to do. Okay, we'll move along. You don't do that, Dad, in this situation. You fight back, and you fight back aggressively, because no U.S. presidential campaign should ever be spied on like this again.
Nancy Pelosi said she wanted to see the president in jail. Yep. She said that while he was in England and in France. So let me tell you what the answer is. Fight back. They are not going to impeach this president. I do not believe that for a moment. They are going to rattle cages and try to rattle up this testimony, because what they were not successful in getting what they wanted out of the Mueller report. So now they're trying to do what the president calls a redo. Now, what's going to happen, and the reason I don't think they will impeach or open an impeachment inquiry, they certainly couldn't get a conviction, is that they know that will backfire in the upcoming election, which is a year and, 4 months out.
Yeah.
So, you know, 15 months from now, they've got to be in a position to start running now. So if they're going to run on impeachment and not do impeachment, that's pretty dangerous for them. And if they're going to do impeachment, that is also dangerous for them. However, we need to be aggressive in our advocacy for the rule of law and for the Constitution. And that's going to include finding out how this investigation started, because Americans should not be spied upon without probable cause. And it looks very apparent right now, we'll know a lot more in the weeks ahead, that there was no probable cause here. So this is serious. This is real. This, by the way, is not a special counsel investigation. No. Durham is not appointed as a special counsel. He is inside the Department of Justice and has been tasked with this issue, and he will get to the bottom of it. So they will not be impeached. What we need to do is, so the president's focusing on jobs, border security, negotiations, successful negotiations with Mexico. He's dealing with China. He'll be dealing with Russia, and the Middle East plan, which will be rolling out very soon. So the president's agenda is going to move forward. What Congress does or does not do is going to be up to the Democratic Party leading Congress.
I think that was very apparent on our broadcast yesterday, where we discussed how the tariff threat used by the president, which was even criticized by some Republicans who said they may try to prevent the president from putting tariffs on Mexico, is the only way Mexico finally got to the table after months of negotiations and signed on to a deal to put 6,000 of its own National Guard troops, Mexican National Guard troops, on Mexico's southern border. And then their foreign minister went so far as to say that if that doesn't work to prevent tariffs from ever being placed on Mexico, that they would look at setting up a regional asylum system, which would be another significant step if they can't get this flow of illegal migrants under control by using their National Guard at levels that the Homeland Security Secretary, the acting secretary, said they've never even put on the table before. Numbers that they never even put on the table before, and because of that tariff issue. So the president does continue. He's not being distracted by this. He's continuing to fight on the issues. I think people are actually surprised. We got a lot of callers yesterday, Dad, who were surprised how much the president has been able to do in light of Congress being basically inactive, if you will, on real issues.
I can testify to that firsthand. I mean, I'm not going to discuss conversations I had with the president, but I speak with the president, as you know, regularly.
Yep.
And it covers a whole host of issues, which is normal. And here's the thing that's interesting. You got right now on CNN Breaking, why are we speculating about impeachment? That's what Nancy Pelosi's saying. She knows it's a political loser.
Yeah.
So it'll be very interesting to see what happens. So we're going to get to the truth on this. You know, we've had a very aggressive FOIA campaign ourselves.
Yeah.
Where we've gotten a lot of information about a lot of material, about a lot of what was going on in these administrations. And we're still going to initiate those as necessary. But I will tell you this, and this is to our audience out there, your support of the ACLJ enables us to do get to justice, bring you this broadcast every day, fight for life, fight for freedom, get those Freedom of Information Act case lawsuits running. So I feel very good. I'm very happy that Bill Barr's done an incredible job. Yep. I just say, let's keep it up.
Folks, remember, we've got a second half hour coming up. The big question I have for you that I'd like to get your comments on is, I mean, remember, as this letter says, I mean, Dad, I think your final comment that none of this was ever has yet to be investigated. We feel like these investigations have gone on and on and on. But this part, the beginning of the counterintelligence investigation, the dossier, this is the first time it's being investigated. There's no previous investigations have actually been done by the executive branch, by the Department of Justice. I know Congress has done some hearings, but no real investigation. This is it. This is the first time it's happening.
That's right. So what's now happening is you have a real U.S. attorney who has the authority of the United States government working out of Maine Justice to get this matter reviewed, determined, and take a course of action to bring it to justice, and he will do that. So I think we've crossed an important threshold here, no question about it.
All right, folks, get your calls in now. How important do you believe this investigation is and the breadth, the scope of the investigation? 1-800-684-3110. As always, support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org and get information there as well. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We have put together a special show for you today because so much has happened this week. So many different major news stories that we've covered that we wanted to give you kind of an overview, because I think if you just listened to one or two shows, you may have missed a lot of other information because so much has occurred this week that affects our country and our world. I mean, first of all, Mexico agreeing to send 6,000 of their own National Guard troops to the southern border after that tariff threat from President Trump, a tariff threat which was criticized even by some Republican senators who said they may try to prevent President Trump from issuing those tariffs on Mexico. Well, guess what? After months of negotiations and Mexico not doing anything and not committing any major resources to stemming the flow of illegal immigrants that come into Mexico from their southern border and then come through Mexico to our southern border, now Mexico has agreed, because they want to avoid those tariffs that start at 5% but go up all the way to 25% over time, that they will actively put forward 6,000 of their own Mexican National Guard on Mexico's southern border to stop Central American illegal immigrants from entering Mexico's southern border illegally and then trying to enter our country illegally on our southern border. So a major victory there for President Trump that we'll get into today to get through kind of and focus in on how we got there and the media criticism over this as well, which was absurd, to say the least. My dad will be joining us as well to discuss the news that was really major this week, because the Department of Justice, in a response to a request by the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, a Democrat, Jerry Nadler, who asked about, hey, what is this investigation into the origins of the Russia investigation with this U.S. attorney all about? And we're talking about investigating the investigators. Well, the Department of Justice responded, and I bet Chairman Nadler, as you'll hear us discuss, why he probably feels this way, feels like he shouldn't have sent this letter in the first place, because the response back was pretty clear. It is broad in scope and multifaceted. And we'll get deeper into that with my dad, our chief counsel of the ACLJ, and remember, a senior attorney to President Trump as well. We also talked about Joe Biden and President Trump hitting the campaign trail in Iowa, and one of the most outrageous claims we've heard yet, and that's saying a lot from Joe Biden when you say it's one of the most outrageous claims you've heard yet, that there was not a single scandal during the Obama-Biden administration. Not a single scandal. Well, again, we brought back my dad, chief counsel of the ACLJ, senior attorney to President Trump, to walk through just some of the major scandals of the Obama-Biden administration, just some of them. These aren't disputed. These aren't conspiracies. These are real, including the ones we worked on, like the targeting of the IRS, just for one example. We're going to go through many of them for you today. I mean, we talked about all of it this week. We really wanted to focus in so you get up to speed. And then this latest provocation by Iran. Remember, a month ago, Iran, the U.S. believes, attacked four oil tankers, and then 2 days later in May, attacked a pipeline using a drone. Well, yesterday, Iran is expected to have attacked by torpedo or some kind of explosive device two more oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. And again, the U.S. has been able to respond to help the situation. So we're going to get into that as well. Where is that red line with Iran? Of course, it's clear that the economic sanctions are hurting. So a lot to cover today on Jay Sekulow Live. We thought with all of this news that happened this week, we needed to go back through it with you, because if you missed just one show, you missed a lot of information. We'll get to all of it today on Jay Sekulow Live. Stay up to speed on all the latest news at ACLJ.org, on my Twitter, twitter.com/JordanSekulow, my dad's Twitter and Facebook pages as well. And again, we're coming right back on Jay Sekulow Live. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Don't worry, we will get to the barbs that were thrown, the punches, pretty weak ones, by Joe Biden when you're throwing them at President Trump. You better be, you know, when you telecast a punch, tell President Trump, and he did by releasing his speech early, saying he's going to call President Trump an existential threat to our country. That means a threat that will destroy the basic fabric of what we know as America. And you telegraph that, well, you better be ready for what's coming. And there was a lot coming at Joe Biden from President Trump before he even got to Iowa. There was substance on the China issue, and Joe Biden suddenly has shifted his position from May to last night on the threat of China and the trade issue there. There was also some real barbs thrown, punches thrown by President Trump as well. So again, we will get to that. But what we believe is one of the most shocking claims made yet in this campaign cycle was by Joe Biden last night in Iowa. Take a listen again, listen closely, and remember those 8 years of the Obama administration.
For 8 years, there wasn't one single hint of a scandal or a lie.
I'm going to go to my dad, chief counsel of the ACLJ and attorney to President Trump. Dad, I mean, right off the bat, probably the one that we were most involved in and certainly one of the most serious because involved the targeting of American conservative groups by the IRS. How about that scandal?
Well, I would say that was a pretty big one. You had the Internal Revenue Service in an unprecedented way targeting conservative, pro-life, pro-liberty organizations because of their name. It was a scandal that went all the way to the top of the Internal Revenue Service and higher. You had the president saying there was not a hint of
not a smidgen
of evidence of wrongdoing. Yeah, and we find out, of course, negated it. We won. We got a permanent injunction against the Internal Revenue Service. They had to change their policy. They paid over $4 million in damages. Over $1.6 million ordered in legal fees. So this idea that there was not a scandal, I mean, the IRS targeted conservative groups to silence them during a midterm election. Now, how much more of a scandal can there be? And that was with one of the most feared agencies in the federal government. That was the Internal Revenue Service.
Well, that's just so one.
Well, let me just finish on this one, though. We had to litigate that for 3 years. We were the lead lawyers in a lot of those cases, especially the ones in Washington, D.C., where we had to get the rules changed. It was our case. We had, and then we joined these other cases as well. But This was serious litigation against the Internal Revenue Service. We found wrongdoing at a highest level. Lois Lerner, of course, was leading the pack on this. They were threatening to bring criminal actions against our clients, including, remember that one line, we'll get the FEC and DOJ to come up with a one criminal case? That will silence these groups. So that tells you a lot right there. I mean, about a scandal. So that's number one on my list. But, you know, also, let's not forget, and I know you're going to get into this later in the broadcast, the whole issue of FISA abuse, that was under the Obama administration. They're the ones that changed the executive order with 21 days left in their term to go from three agencies getting information and unmasking capabilities to 21. So it tells you that, you know, they have a Joe Biden suffering from selective memory disorder.
Yeah, and then you look at the entire, the tarmac meeting between Loretta Lynch and Bill Clinton that occurred.
Let's talk about that one.
The Hillary Clinton email scandal that is tied to that, and then Jim Comey, all that happening under the Obama administration, really botching everything.
The entire way in which the tarmac issue with Loretta Lynch, let's look at that one from a, we filed FOIAs on that one.
Yeah.
So they had this unprecedented meeting between the a former president of the United States, whose wife was under investigation, and the current attorney general of the United States, on a tarmac in Arizona. And that's normal, right? And we went and got FOIA information on that. But the list goes on and on, the gun running with Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
And the lack of tracking capabilities and the fiasco that that created. Dan mentioned during the break, the Benghazi scandal of non-response. But my gosh, how he can say that with the IRS, which is such front and center, and the FISA abuse. But again, it's politics, so you kind of get it. But the reality is, when you look at what's happened here, they're the ones that launched this activity against President Trump. Remember that. That's where it came from.
Yeah,
it was the Obama-Biden administration.
The only scandal that has been talked about with the Trump administration, we can all say with a straight face, because Robert Mueller looked into it for 2 years, they can't say anything different about it, was supposedly this Russian collusion between a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. And Robert Mueller said, absolutely not, there was not. So I don't know what scandal Joe Biden is trying to reference in the Trump administration, which has been scandal free.
What he's trying to do is say that this investigation itself, you know, and I creates the hallmark of was this a scandal? Ended up, of course, not being one. But let's not forget who launched it. I think you got to be very clear on who launched this operation, Operation Crossfire Hurricane. It was done during the Obama-Biden administration. It was called Crossfire Hurricane, and it was launched against a candidate for president of the United States by the sitting administration, the current administration. So let's not forget where this came from.
I mean, you look at Benghazi, the blaming the attack on a video, which caused the death of, Ambassador Chris Stevens, three other Americans killed in that attack on our consulate in Benghazi, and the U.S. personnel on the ground were instructed to stand down. She initially said it was about a video. The VA scandal. I mean, remember how horrible the Veterans Affairs Department, we're going to talk about that with Wes Smith. The Taliban Five, trading the deserter Abu Bergdahl for five Taliban terrorists who ended up all five returning to the battlefield. The Iran deal video editing, where they edited out the truth about when negotiations on the Iran deal began. Guess what? It wasn't under the more moderate, in quotes, Rouhani government. It started under the Ahmadinejad government, but there was a white flash and an edit there. Eventually, they admitted that.
We did litigation on that, remember?
Yep.
We went and did a FOIA litigation on that.
And they eventually admitted that was intentionally done by someone from the press office. And you had Admiral Kirby come out and say
that. It's important to point out on that one, Jordan, that the ACLJ went to court to find out what happened there, and we did find out.
I mean, and then there was the targeting of journalists. You know, this is another issue that, Dad, the Trump administration beats up on journalists. But the Obama administration actually went after them criminally, like James Rosen.
James Rosen. Yep. Yeah, people forget that. So you've got a reporter that they're angry at. So what do? They turn the full power of the government against then Fox News reporter James Rosen. He's now with Sinclair Broadcasting. And they went after him and threatened his family. So, look, again, he's suffering from a little bit of selective disorder, memory disorder. He remembers what he wants to remember and forgets what he wants to forget. But I'll tell you, at the end of the day, They're the ones that launched all these.
Yes.
They're going to be found out with this new investigation that's going on by Bill Barr. And that's what they're so afraid of.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, again, when you look at the Joe Biden issue, that and again, I think this goes to the Sleepy Joe issue. Take a listen to President Trump yesterday, Bite 26.
America must never again be held hostage to foreign suppliers of energy as we were under the Obama-Biden Sleepy Joe group. Sleepy Joe.
I mean, it just gets to that idea, Dad, that Biden, like on the Hyde Amendment, there's also the Biden Amendment, which is out there, which he still has not repudiated that on the foreign funding of research on abortions. Which is named after him, and yet the pro-abortion groups have stayed away from condemning him on that one yet. I mean, there's so much out there. It's like I know he had a long career, but prepare before you run for president, and especially when you're going to be talking about your 8 years serving in the Obama-Biden administration.
Well, I think, look, the reality of what you've got here is they're trying to create imagery, right? That's what this is. This is political theater. And what you've got going on right now with Congress is political theater. I mean, you saw that last night with the voting that they're going to go ahead and be able to go directly to court on people that are not complying with subpoenas. Subpoenas that, in my view, are either unconstitutional or no predicate's been made for them. There was an executive order, search privilege over census documents today. I think it was the right thing to do. So I think that what you have here happening, and this is just what we have to be cognizant of. We're in a political season. You got to separate fact from fiction. And we're going to get to the bottom line of what was going on with these administrations real soon, because we've got a U.S. attorney that's been tasked with finding out how did this start. And what a scandal. That FISA issue is going to be a scandal.
You know what, Dad, we appreciate you joining us again for this segment, weighing in on what we thought was really when we were going through, we were going to start the show with the barbs that were being thrown by President Trump and Joe Biden, but have decided to hold that to the second half hour and get into the politics of that because we realized, Dad, this claim was just so outrageous. Yeah. We were all just saying right off the top of our head these scandals over the past 8 years of the Obama administration. And you know why we were doing that? Because all of us, the ACLJ, as you said, Dad, we've worked on all of these scandals.
Every one of them.
Every single one of them.
Every
folks,
single
you go
one
through.
Of them.
Every one of them. We have worked on or are continuing to work on some of them as well, like the FISA abuses as well. So, Dad, appreciate you joining us. Yep. More information up at ACLJ.org. We will be taking your phone calls. We come back. Biden claims there were no scandals under the Obama-Biden administration. What are your thoughts on that? We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So again, last month, just about exactly a month ago, May 10th through 12th, you had attacks on four oil tankers in the Gulf. It was believed to be Iran that attacked those oil tankers. A direct attack on the Western world, on our allies, and of course it puts the price of oil up, which is good for Iran too, because even though it's been much harder for Iran to sell their oil, and they've lost $10 billion at least in out of their $50 billion a year revenue already, and that was just back in March. If they can get an increase in oil, that should help them economically. So that can be part of the reason, but it's also an attack on us economically, an attack on the world economically, because they have been cut off from the world's markets. And remember, they made all those demands to Europeans as well, saying, you must allow us back into your economy. And the Europeans said, we can't. Because guess what? When the U.S. financial institutions and the U.S. government says you can no longer operate within our institutions, guess what? We are our institutions are so interlinked around the world, and we're blessed to be a country like that with our economy like that, that those businesses can't just do business in Europe, and those European businesses have got money that's flowing through the U.S. financial institutions. It's too dangerous for them, too risky, even if they wanted to do business with Iran. So Iran is in a very difficult place economically, and they're starting to act out, if you will. Now, this is the way that an Iran acts out, pretty irrationally. So they attack, this is back in May, four oil tankers, and then that's May 10th through 12th. Then May 14th, they attack a pipeline using a drone. It is reported that torpedoes attacks on two oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. The Gulf of Oman is right off the coast of Iran before you enter the Strait of Hormuz in the Persian Gulf, just to be clear. Torpedo is potentially used here, so from submarine attacks. And as Skip Ash has said, our senior military analyst and our law of war analyst, who is a retired colonel in the U.S. military, has said that it could have also been a magnetic explosive that was attached to the vessels by using one of those Iranian Revolutionary Guard fast boats that go up to the vessels and put the explosive on. But, I mean, it was serious. We could play some of the footage while we're talking now. These vessels on fire. I mean, the crew had to be rescued. The U.S. did most of the rescuing. Iran said they did some rescuing. But let me tell you something. Until I know that crew that was, quote, rescued by Iran is free, I would assume that they have been more like they have been taken than they have been actually rescued. But just to see the imagery of, as you're seeing in the background, if you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, of what it looked like, what these vessels looked like as they were on fire, very serious. Let me play to you. Senator Cotton from Arkansas, Senator Tom Cotton, took to the floor of the U.S. Senate to address this. Take a listen, Byte 20.
Two tankers were attacked in the Gulf of Oman with early indications that the damage is consistent with a torpedo or other projectile. While the attack hasn't been attributed yet, I think it's a safe bet that it wasn't the Omanis. What's happening in the Middle East? As Iran's economy staggers under the weight of new American sanctions, the Ayatollahs are lashing out and raging against the world. It's essential we support our Gulf partners during this dangerous time so they can defend themselves from Iranian aggression and its proxies.
It's our Gulf partners. It's Israel. It's our Arab partners, like the Egyptians, the Jordanians. It's also, again, the U.S. interests that we are defending against. And I agree with Senator Cotton that it wasn't the Omanis. Absolutely not. Through the Gulf of Oman. It is Iran that borders right there. I want to go to your phone calls. William in Georgia on line one. William, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, good afternoon, Jordan. This is my question.
Yeah.
When it comes to Iran causing these attacks to provocate military action against them and those type of things, what would be the purpose for why they do that? Don't they realize that they're putting us up to economical suicide, and also they wouldn't be able to withstand with us militarily?
Well, Skip, you also have a theological knowledge of Iran. We've studied this together before. They've got an end times theology, the leaders of Iran, the Ayatollahs, to carry out kind of an end times war, similar to like the Book of Revelation that we would have as Christians, that you have to have this ultimate war of wars to bring about a 12th Imam who's hidden. So, I mean, there's a lot going on here theologically. And then, of course, there's what Tom Cotton said in that soundbite, which is that the Iranian economy has been hit so hard under the weight of the new sanctions. So you've got the dueling economic rational reasons, and you've got the radical theological reasons as well.
Absolutely. They are Shia Muslims, which are a little bit more radical and with relation to their theology, and they do have this idea that there has to be some apocalyptic event at the end of the age. But they also, I think, they misunderstand American politics. They look at our president, who is being attacked by so many people in the press, and they view that as a weakness.
Yeah.
And therefore, what they're trying to do, if the price of fuel goes up and the price of gas goes up here in the United States right in the middle of the summer, they think this is going to bring a lot of pressure on the president to back off some of what he's doing. They don't know our president, and they don't realize that he can take a lot of pressure before he's going to back off.
They don't understand the free press either. I mean, they have when their state media reports things, it's propaganda. I mean, they don't understand the free press. They certainly don't understand President Trump. A red line has not yet been drawn by the Trump administration. Logically, they're not always thinking the same way we would. Militarily, the striking on these vessels, things like that. When you deal with Iran, you have to take out your Western mindset, put that to the side, and analyze how Iran has acted in the past. Will that be the red line if there's any more of these attacks? I mean, we've kind of walked through this a number of times with Iran, and I will tell you, I know this president, President Trump, the last thing he wants to do is put our troops in harm's way and get into a major military conflict with the Islamic Republic of Iran. So I think the red line would have to be very significant. But I want to take the final calls of the day if we can get to both of them. I think we can. Larry in Indiana on line four. Larry, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks, Larry.
I think that the time is of the essence here in this. The type of attack will be able to be determined, but it takes time to be able to be determined by the amount of damage, the angle of attack, the residual foreign object in the ships, the interview of the sailors. The Colonel retired Ash is correct in saying that that all the contingencies that are already in place as far as how our response is. The danger here is that it is a torpedo attack,
yeah,
because then it places our ships in direct danger.
No, I think that is what would be most disturbing. Larry, I want to thank you for our service. Skip, just very quickly, it appears because we had these carrier strike groups in the region because of these recent Iranian provocations, we're able to find out much sooner. Folks, we got a lot of great information up at ACLJ.org. Let me also remind you, the ACLJ, and on this broadcast, Jay Sekulow Live, we don't just talk about these issues. We're working on them because of your support financially to the ACLJ and your donations, because you signed petitions, because you signed briefs. We're filing a brief in the Ninth Circuit on the funding of the border barrier. So we've got that brief being filed. Many of you have signed on to that brief. We're also filing in a Title X Planned Parenthood case as well in the Ninth Circuit, a Court of Appeals, all because of your support to the ACLJ. We're able to not just talk about the issues, but get involved. Go to ACLJ.org. Stay up to date on the issues. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.org.